All right, welcome everybody. It is April's show.
Yes.
Breakpoint. And I think it's actually, we're coming up on our 16th episode of Breakpoint. Can you believe it?
I have had so much fun, I have lost count.
Well, I just told you what it was, so it's 16.
Okay. But I had a math teacher that basically said, don't take anything at face value. Prove it out for yourself.
I also learned that one plus one equals three for greater values of one. Go figure.
Okay.
What the hell? That's why I'm a developer. I don't do math, which I realize a lot. Anyway, that was not meant to offend anyone. It was just I do business apps. That's better. I do business apps. I do not do math.
Science and math are fun, though. It runs the world.
They are, but that's why I kind of, back in the day, should I start already? Back in the day, made sure that my degree was on the sciences side and not on the math side. But that's a different story. Anyway,
yes.
We're talking about application insights today.
We are.
Now, one of the things that I find fascinating about this particular area, if you will, is other than the fact that I love data, I love working with data, but how many times is it that people go in and they build applications and they do testing? And actually, hopefully you saw the last episode where we were talking about manual testing and all that kind of user-coded testing and whatever. But that's technically one part of testing, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you call it end-user testing. Sometimes you call it whatever.
Whatever.
But what I find most people don't bother getting into is actually instrumenting their applications so that you're looking at it from a performance perspective. You're looking at it to optimize whether it works from like a memory perspective or whether, you know, like what does this application look like in production? What does it look like when real people are using it for real functions versus ones that, as we saw last time, you would be scripting ahead of time. So obviously you've thought about a particular scenario, you've tested it out, great, except how many times is it that you actually put the application in production and your scenarios are nowhere near how people actually use it?
Yeah, you know what? And I mean, a good best practices approach to building software means that you have a balanced approach to it, right?
Right.
So you're not top heavy on dev. You're not top heavy on requirements. You're not top heavy on testing.
Yep.
You're not top heavy on deployment. You're basically, you have an even keel. You basically set it up appropriately for the resources that you need at each step of the process, right? But unfortunately, and I'm sure you know this as well in your past as well, is the fact that there's an awful lot of work that goes into the requirement stage, into the development stage, the architecture, obviously. Testing, I would say, is relatively good. But different types of testing. So like the manual testing component, getting user feedback, maybe not so much. Doing performance testing, not so much. But it shows, right? When you end up with a situation where you put a system into production and it's built the way it was supposed to be architected and it meets the requirements as the requirements were documented, it doesn't meet the needs of the end user.
Right.
For various different reasons, performance, you know, their, you know, usability, whatever it is.
Well, and the thing too is that a lot of people consider testing as ending when you ship into production.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
And it boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's there is a process to everything, right? And it's just like anything else. You have to think about it not as a start and end process, but it's just actually a cyclical process. There's no start, there's no end. It's very metaphysical that way, right? It's actually more of a situation where, you know, you start one process and when that process is done, you start it again. But in that process, you're also learning.
Right.
And that's a really important component that I don't think a lot of software teams spend a lot of time doing. And I know for a fact that we have grown as a company building software into learning about how we are finding our deployments are going, right? So what happens when you deploy a new piece of software into production or bring it to market for customers? We get that feedback. You see that in Windows.
True.
Right? I mean, when we built Windows Vista and Windows XP and all those other ones, for example, we built it and we, you know, I'm sure we did a lot of, you know, use case studies and we brought you know, end users in to say, this is what we like, this is what we don't like. But when we brought in Windows 7, one of the things that was really interesting is in the beta period, we actually had a feedback mechanism. right?
Yep.
So that whole process of understanding where users were going to be using it, and that Windows 7 to Windows 8, now to Windows 10,
yep.
all of that is actually being brought in.
And actually, I think as the versions continue on, you actually see even more feedback
yes.
being asked and more data being collected with permission, obviously.
Obviously, but, yeah.
To bring those, for lack of a better word in this case, insights back to the people who can actually make this stuff better.
Yeah. Yeah, Office does the same thing now too, which is great to see, right? But that's just a manual feedback capability,
right?
But it's important to have that because that verbatim sort of commentary around how people use the software that you're building is very important. And there are data points, you know,
yep.
that you can use to be creating actions, right?
Well, qualitative data points at this point, right?
Well, maybe they're actually quantitative too, depending on how you look at it. Because if you aggregate, you know, common themes, you can sort of get an idea of the things that are most important to you as a business to start focusing on as well.
Fair enough.
Right? So there's a qualitative aspects like this button should be over here.
Yep.
Or, you know, I don't like, you know, this workflow or the colors or whatever it is, right? And then there's a quantitative aspect of, okay, there's 500,000 people that said the button should be over here, right? So, oh, okay, well, there's, you know, there's inertia there.
Sure.
And so you need to make sure that you have all that.
But even that, as you said, all of that is manually collected.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what we're looking at today is actually all of the things that we don't have to manually collect.
Mm-hmm.
And I even remember when we used to put all these things together, one of the first things that used to go, right, and we've had this discussion several times here on Breakpoint where, you know, we have to let go of something for budget purposes,
mm-hmm.
right? And because we've always had to build from scratch, effectively, an engine that would be able to collect all this information, store it, analyze it, blah, 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 because there was no inherent value to the business that we were building it for,
yep.
it was the first things to go. So
yep.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think what you're going to show us today is really along the lines of, hey, you know what? This stuff actually exists. You just need to tap into it
yeah.
so that you're not really, yeah. if I'm not mistaken, you're not actually building anything, right? It's just API calls
yeah,
for
pretty
things
much.
To just
well, I
go
mean,
and
it's,
do.
It's not a magic button and then everything is there.
Sure.
Although there is some of that too. So we'll show you a bit of that.
Point being is that it's something for you to use
yes.
versus something for you to build.
Correct.
Okay, so in that case, then let's dig deeper.
Okay,
I love it. We can go on this topic forever. And by the way, remember, when we do this show, we always want your commentary, right?
Please.
So as you're watching this, feel free to put a comment in there and stuff like that. I mean, other than we love talking about this, but we'd love to hear what you guys think about testing and this whole concept of insights and whatever. So yeah, put a note in there, let us know, tweet at us. Just make sure you put Breakpoint CA on there so that we can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to ask Paul and I a specific question, Jay Rosenblatt on Twitter, Pila Bears on Twitter.
Yep.
But yeah, let's dig deep and see where we go.
All right. So the first thing I want to do is really sort of step back to the conversation that we had a little bit and really talk about the life cycle. So if you see this sort of circle, you have development and you have production. And then there's a whole bunch of things in between, right? So throughout this whole process, you have a number of different activities that you're doing. First, you're planning, and then you're actually doing the development and testing capabilities. And then you're releasing that software into whatever environment that you actually are looking at. And then beyond that, as I talked about, it's the learning capability, right?
Right.
So once that something's in production or in the environment that you actually want it to be in, you know, you have to monitor it. You have to make sure that it's working properly and it's meeting the needs of the people that you built that software for.
I'm going to pause you for a second, though.
Sure.
Monitor is always one of those tough words when you think about it from a division of duties, right? Because a mm-hmm. lot of times, especially in the larger organizations, as soon as you say monitor, for whatever reason, it registers to people in general as an IT function.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a developer function. And the part that I've kind of always thought about is, hey, well, what if it's not one or the other, and it's actually both? And that's actually something we were talking about
yep.
in a previous episode in the DevOps world.
Absolutely.
Where it really is, like, you're monitoring different things. Like, that's,
yep.
I think, what we have to keep in mind. So
mm-hmm.
whenever, you know, we or Paul or anybody says monitor,
mm-hmm.
I think it's actually just really important to understand that it's everybody's monitoring, whether you're monitoring code optimization, performance, whatever, or you're monitoring servers, or you're monitoring the end user, everybody's going to look at monitoring from their perspective. And I think ultimately the real value comes when you bring it all together.
That's right. I mean, if you think about it, monitoring is all about taking data, in creating or finding patterns in that data, and then creating actions based on those patterns.
Right.
And that is, as you said, it's not solely an IT operations type of role or activity. It's absolutely something to do with the dev team. It's also something to do with the business team.
True.
So it's that, you know, collaboration capability, and that's really what you see around the handshake.
And I was going to say, I'm like, I love the fact that the handshake is right in the middle of the screen
right?
Because it literally is a reminder that, hey, this is, everybody's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if you take a look at that, you know, that's all well and good, but if you see the title of the slide, it actually says impediments to your life cycle. And these are not impediments, but some of the things that we talked about are actually very important. So one of the things are, you know, from a dev, not a dev, but a business standpoint is, what are the most important features that I need to give my users, right? So how do you prioritize functionality in each iteration or each phase or each release and things of that nature, right?
So quantitatively.
And qualitatively.
Fair. Yeah. But I'm just going to say, like, I know when I was listening to that, and I'm sure you guys, as you're like, well, if I think it's important, right, then, right? But what if you put it in there and nobody ever goes to that page or that screen or that button?
It's happened to me.
It's happened to everybody.
Yeah, exactly, right? You spend like 60% of your time building out this piece of functionality or set of screens or whatever, and then you find out the users are using this 5% effort thing that was the most useful thing to them.
Right.
But you had no idea because we missed the mark because we didn't understand the use cases.
So I guess the only thing I was trying to get at is when you say what features are most important, just understand how you define most important.
Exactly. Exactly, right. So the next thing that I can say is, like, from a development or, you know, like a dev and test perspective, is like, how can I leverage the data that I'm getting from a production environment or from an environment that has, you know, a proxy to real use, for example, to make the right development decisions, right? Because it's one thing to say, okay, well, the business has stated that this set of functionality has higher priority than this one, for example. But if this set of functionality is inordinately much more difficult to implement, you may want to break that down and bring some of the other functionality up as well.
True.
So again, data does play a part in that. The other part is, you know, is my application performing properly, right? So that's not just a production sort of issue. It's like, even if it's a net new application that you're building, or if you're building new changes to an existing application, you want to know what some of those impediments from a performance standpoint will be before you actually hit production. Yep. The reason being is performance degradation is a degradation in user experience, which means that you're actually failing at providing the right value to the user.
Yeah, I mean, and then a whole slew of badness will ensue from that. You know, I mean, they don't call first impressions for no reason.
Exactly.
The worst thing that could... probably the worst, but one of the worst things that can happen to you is that you spend all this time working on an application and you just didn't look at it from exactly what you were saying from the performance perspective, or some of these maybe not necessarily what you would think is an end user thing, except because it affects their experience, perception is done, and then you have such a difficult time basically convincing people to use this application.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So the next thing is, if you take a look, and I seem to have, whatever. So thank you, Bing Finance, or MS Finance. So the next one is my application working properly? Is it healthy?
Right.
Right. So this is around, you know, the idea of, you know, once you've deployed or released an application to an environment, like, is it behaving the way I expect it to? Right. So are there a bunch of errors being thrown out in certain parts of the application? And if so, why? Mm-hmm. Right. Is it a configuration issue? Is it something that, you know, the dev team missed, for example? Is it something that, you know, for example, the users are using that part of the application so much that, you know, we weren't expecting that, so therefore there's maybe some issues there as well.
And again, I want to draw a point to the same conversation that we had before, where, again, healthy in this case is from an application's perspective as well, not just, hey, is my application up?
Yeah.
Right, which is more of an infrastructure thing than it is an actual application.
Absolutely.
Right, so just because to the end user it might look like things are all honky-dory and everything is looking great and working, and even, let's say, even the performance is good, but in the background, if, let's say, you miss something and it's spinning up a whole bunch of threads, ultimately, it will crash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you may not know that until like a month or two in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So keep in mind, when you define healthy, there is server healthy, and then, as Paul said, application healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we're really in the context of application healthy at this
right.
point. Yeah. And then also from the monitoring and learning standpoint is, again, taking a look at what's in production. How are my users using the application?
Yeah.
Are the use cases and the scenarios that we defined and envisioned for this application, in fact, the same ones that our users are actually using in the wild? And if not, maybe we should figure out exactly why that is. So there's a whole bunch of different things around that are really important to understand. So if you take a look at these, and these are just some. I mean, this is not a full sort of taking a look at this. I mean, these are all impediments to, you know, how you build software, at least questions that you should be asking yourself to make sure that you're doing the right things. Because we talked about this in other episodes as well, as the fact that people don't want to use software. They want to have used software,
yep.
right?
Yep.
The idea being a software is a tool, and you use tools to get to a result. So if you're building the right tool, then you get the right result.
See, and this is why I love it. I love the fact that we do this together. So thanks for doing the show with me.
You're welcome.
But,
thank you.
One of the reasons that was random, I know. But
I'm about to cry, but that's okay. Yeah.
When you say things like that, like you're saying, now I lost my train of thought because we got all mushy.
Moving on. Okay. All right.
No, but it was such a good point.
If you think about it, I'll let you interrupt.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
You're such a goof.
I can't believe. Anywho,
moving on. Okay, so these are just some examples, right? But if you want to take a look at these and sort of bucket them a little bit more, the way I would look at it is this. And there's three different ways that I can really take a look at building out your sort of applications and things like that from a monitoring and telemetry standpoint. One is application health.
Ah, yes.
Right? The other one is performance. And then the final one is usefulness, right? So if you think about it, application health and application performance are sort of table stakes when it comes to analytics, because really we're talking analytics, right?
Right.
The real value, well, there's a whole lot of value in health and performance, but I think especially if you're talking about, you know, value to the business, the real value, I think, is finding out exactly how your users are using the application. So setting up the right sort of hook-ins into your application to really get granular understanding of how your users are using the application. Like, what buttons are they pressing? It's not even just what screens are they going to. It's actually which buttons are they pressing, or what's the workflow of interaction mm-hmm. that they have within the application. And that, I think, is really, really important to take a look at. So if you think about it, you know, telemetry, data, all those types of things, it's really, really important to understand what these things are. And these are just examples of what we're going to show you a little bit later. So, you know, the ability to identify issues early on and then, you know, fix them as quickly as possible. Diagnose and solve sort of performance issues and things like that. And then obviously the learning, which we talked about before, and then improving the quality of the software that you're building. Again, trying to get to the right result for the users that you're building your software for. Okay. So Application Insights is our solution to this. So this is not necessarily a new service.
No, it's been around for what?
A year and a half, yeah. At least. I honestly don't remember when we brought it out, but it's been in beta, but we've actually announced, this is interesting because I think we're going to announce some stuff at Build, for example. Yeah, exactly, right? So, you expect it because there's lots of stuff going on around that. So at Build, I expect we'll probably get some more information about Application Insights, and that's all well and good. But Application Insights is our service. It's not a product that you basically install on premises. It's a cloud-based service that you hook your application into to get that telemetry. And it's very powerful. Even though it's in beta right now, and it's completely free to use right now, actually, as of April 24. So it's very, very useful, and we have a lot of customers that are using it today to actually diagnose and learn from their applications. So, if you take a look at the diagrams here on the left-hand side, the red one, you see that there's a whole bunch of different sort of devices here. And that's on purpose, because we're not talking about just web applications or mobile applications. We're also talking cross-platform applications as well.
Yeah, and that's actually important, especially when you don't have an environment where you're mm-hmm. only on the one platform. Understand that at the end of the day, these are just API calls into the Application Insights service.
Correct.
Right, so don't think about it as bound to, like you said, a web app or any specific type of application. It's wherever you need insights.
You get it.
Across the board,
yep.
You get it. As long as whatever it is that you're building can ultimately speak REST mm-hmm. out onto the internet.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's one of the things that you have to keep in mind, is that it's not, it's a REST-based API. As long as whatever you're building can speak REST and can speak over the internet.
And in fact, we just give you the API, so you don't even have to create those RESTful sort of endpoints if you don't want to.
Right, and there's SDKs as well with manage objects and already ready to go.
You got it.
So
yep, and it gets better every day. All right.
Paul.
So, well, wait, it's true. It's a cloud service. We iterate.
That's the beauty of it. Funny enough, so you say that we iterate based on the application insights that we get.
Oh.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that for it to be a pun. It's literally like
no, it's not a pun. It's like you're getting metaphysical again.
Right,
it's
but
like,
even all of these services, right? A lot of the telemetry that we get from the services themselves are from application insights.
Yes.
So, Absolutely. Hey, we use our own stuff.
That's what we always do, or try to.
Right. Anyways. Contrary to popular belief, but we do use our own stuff.
Absolutely. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about this before I show the demo. When I do the demo, I think it's really important to remember those three buckets that I talked about, right? So yep. Performance, health, and usefulness. But just to talk about it, there's a whole bunch of different things here. As you can see from a telemetry standpoint, your application uses, you know, on whatever platform and things like that in the infrastructure. It doesn't really matter, or at least that's the theory. I mean, we are limited to certain platforms today just because we're bringing out the service, but it is actually a very large swath that we do support already today. So basically almost any sort of web application out today, whether yep. it's hosted on Microsoft Azure or otherwise, can even be hosted on premises and you can make use of it. We also host application insights for Windows Phone and Windows Store applications, and we're going to expand that to other platforms like mobile applications like iOS and Android and others as well. And maybe down the road, there's other scenarios as well, such as traditional desktop applications. So line of business applications that are built in WPF and things like that. You may see some things down the road potentially. So keep your eyes open. Maybe there's some stuff there.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look here, I'm looking at the Visual Studio Application Insights page. It says monitor ASP.NET, Java, other web apps to services, and then support for Android, iOS, Windows Mobile.
Yeah, so I mean, it's there and it's getting better every day.
Yeah.
Like we said. Okay. So the numbers here that you see is, I think there's a few things. So like, for example, the first number here, number one, outside in monitoring, this is a health component, right? So is your application up and running? Is it healthy enough to actually serve the needs of the users and things like that?
Which, funny enough, is what most people consider monitoring.
Yeah, yeah. And number two, obviously, is how useful is your application? Like, is your application successful, really? You know, like, is it meeting the needs of your users? Because if it's not, then obviously you need to go back to the drawing board to some extent and figure out what your users actually need. And then other things that are more technical, like, for example, number three, developer emitted traces and events. So this is around the diagnostics and telemetry. So getting very deep into the application and figuring out exactly, okay, well, what is going wrong if something actually goes wrong? Or this is really roaring and going fast, so what's making it fast, right? So it goes both ways as well.
AKA what we used to use log files for and then never actually fetch the log files because if they were desktop applications or whatever, good luck trying to get those log files.
Exactly. Now, that's not to say that this will replace logs. For every tool, there is a right answer. Yeah. And certainly logs will continue to be part of that, right?
Yeah.
But this is another layer that helps you get even more granular insight as to what your application is doing. And then the other two are things like application behavior. So this is around, okay, well, is something that you expect to happen in the application not happening, and why is it not happening? Or the other way around, for example. All those types of things are there. We talk about logs here in this case, for example. And then infrastructure performance. So, your servers. And you talked about, there's monitoring and there's monitoring and there's monitoring. There's different types of monitoring, right? And this is an example of where, it's not just about the application. It's also about hooking into the server side or the cloud platform side if you're using platform as a service, for example.
Well, and as our applications ultimately over time become more and more composite apps anyway, where you're getting all of these different things from all these different sources, that's going to become even more important because you have to know, should something happen, it might look like the bottleneck or it might look like the error is coming actually from your application, whereas really it's coming from an underlying service that you're using somewhere down the line.
Exactly.
So, it's very much so like you have it on there as a 360 view of everything that's what's going on, because a good chunk of times it's just not as apparent as it seems as to where the error actually is.
Yep, exactly. So, talked a lot, so let's actually get into demo and sort of see what we can see around here, okay?
So let's
get out of this, and I will minimize that. And now let's get
to... Every time you pull up that desktop, I love it.
I love this desktop too. Well, it does start here.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so, all right.
And for the record, you guys are, in fact, watching this served up from a cloud platform, so...
Well,
just have
to
throw it out there.
Yeah, so there
even
you go.
With you watching this, you are starting, or the cloud starts here.
Yes.
Right here on Breakpoint.
Absolutely.
Hosted on Channel 9,
yep.
Which actually is hosted on Azure.
Absolutely. There you go. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go to Visual Studio, and I'm going to right-click and create a new instance because I already got the demo sort of set up for another one, and I'm just going to let... Okay, whatever.
You had to go and be different.
I did. So how about this? Because, you know, demos are like this. We'll let this go. And we're going to go to the portal instead first to start. Okay, so as you can see here, I'm going to log into my Azure MSDN subscription. And it's asking me for my ID or password.
And since you mentioned MSDN, while you're logging in, let's talk about that for a second. Because Application Insights... Application Insights does, in fact, come with your MSDN subscription. Right, I'm just going to look it up here. I'll look it up later. But access into Azure and access into Application Insights is, in fact, part of the benefits that you get with your MSDN.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's one of those things where it's kind of nice in that it's not yet an additional thing that you have to go sign up for. It's just kind of part of your overall package.
Yep. So I'm not sure what happened there. So let's actually just go here. Did I say Microsoft.com? No, I didn't. Okay, good. And we'll change this to this.
And drum roll. Boom. There we go.
Well, we'll see. Okay, well, while this is maybe going up, maybe we'll now switch over to, we'll switch over here. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so what I'm going to do here, of course, now everything's working. So let's go back. Okay. I'm going to actually go to File, New Project, and I'm just going to show you some of the things that we've actually provided within Visual Studio to help you with Application Insights. So you don't have to have a new application to only use Application Insights. You can hook it up into other applications as well, which is always nice to see. But if I go to File, New Project here, for example, you know, typical sort of behavior. And if I go to, say, for example, I'll go to Windows Store Apps, for example. And I'll just go to a universal app here. And you can, not that one, but the Windows app, sorry. And you can see right here that we have Application Insights already sort of here, see? So right away, as part of the File New Project sort of experience, you can actually get Application Insights added to the project right away. So all the namespaces that you need to deliver, you know, telemetry to from your application to the cloud and all that kind of stuff will be available to you without having to do any extra work. And in fact, some of the hook-ins will allow you to do a lot of telemetry without actually adding new code yourself, which is always nice to see. So I'll exit that. And if I go here, for example, and I go to the web, it's the same idea. You can see right here for web applications, you also get it right here. So I'm going to spend most of my time in an ASP.NET MVC application just to do this, right? Just it makes it easier just to deploy to the cloud and just sort of show you some of the stuff as well. But you can see right here that this is sort of the experience that you get in Visual Studio right away.
And now just to confirm, you're using Visual Studio 2013.
I am. Actually, that's a great point. So within Visual Studio 2013 update 2, I believe, this is the Application Insights plugin is automatically included within it.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I'm like, that used to be something that you had to get through NuGet.
Yeah, so if you don't have it on, if this doesn't show up either in Visual Studio 2012 or Visual Studio 2013 Update 1 or just Visual Studio 2013, then you will need to use a NuGet package installer to actually install Application Insights. So good point.
The beauty of that is that it's just one extra step, but...
Yep.
Otherwise, from that point on, it's the same functionality.
Yep, exactly. So I'm going to cancel that. And because I already have my Application Insights demo here, now I am going to go to the portal again. And for some reason, let's see if we can get back in. And we'll show this to you in a second here. Okay. The reason why I want to show you this is as part of the process, Application Insights lives in Azure, which you probably would expect if you know anything about Microsoft's sort of, you know, cloud platform. So we'll just wait for this to load up for a second here. And as you can see right here, I've already had it open, so it's actually bringing it up. So this is basically a resource group, which is basically a collection of all sorts of different services that I'm making use of. And as you can see here, I have a PJL AI demo, Application Insights demo, which is a web application. So it's an Azure web app that's running in the cloud. But I also have, for example, this Application Insights. I also have another one that I've actually not sort of set up. But if I click on this and we take a look at it, there's some information that should be here. And it seems that it's the status is offline. I'm not sure why that is, but let's see here. Refresh that and see if that comes back. For some reason, maybe it's doing something interesting there. But the intent here is that if you take a look at this, you can see that there's all sorts of things here. So I'm going to show you this in a second. So maybe what I'll do is I'll go to, I'm not sure why it's not showing up, because it was showing up just before. So unless we're having connection issues, but I don't think we are. But anyways, basically, this is where the data will actually show up. Like, so for example, you see server response time would be here. You have browser page loads, you have server requests and fail requests. And in this case, it's not actually showing too much. So we'll see if we can actually get that going in a second. But you can see here that there's all sorts of different sort of service telemetry sort of boxes, if you will, that will allow you to determine exactly what's going on. So for example, I can take a look at this and I can say, hey, let's take a look at failures. And right here, you would normally find your failures. And I've actually had a few that I did this morning, so it's not sort of showing up for some reason, so we'll just deal
with
that.
In this one, or did you do it in the other?
No, it wasn't that one. No, the green one is my my website, actually. So that's okay. And if you take a look at performance, you actually see performance. So you can sort of get an idea of all sorts of different things that would be here, for example, right? So there's all sorts of things. Now, one of the things that's interesting around this is I'm gonna actually go to this, okay, which is my AI demo, for example. And I'm gonna actually do some debugging in this. So I've already got Application Insights sort of hooked up in this, so we'll just leave this be for a second. And basically this is local. So if you take a look here, I'm actually doing the debugging and it's actually local on my machine. So it's actually not going to the cloud right now. Okay, so we'll let this actually just wait for a little bit.
No, I mean, it has to compile everything.
Yep, there so there you go. So it's just a standard boilerplate template of MVC. I've added a few sort of code snippets in to sort of help you understand a little bit. But if I go to About, for example, I go to Contact, maybe I go to Register, and then I go back to Home, right? So typical things that you would see right here, you know, whatever. So nothing too wild there. But if I actually go here, and if I basically stop the debugging, and if I see right down here on my Server Explorer, you'll see something here. So as part of your project, there's this applicationinsights.config, okay? So the applicationinsights.config, if I click on it, is basically an XML file that determines like all these various different sort of telemetry modules and things like that. So if you wanted to add in custom modules, you could do that, for example. You can add in different sort of counters, as you see here, it provides you with that. So whatever it is that you need to actually monitor within your application, you can certainly do all that. And if you scroll all the way down, you can see all these different things. So there's a lot that you get out of the box.
Of course.
That's there, so you don't have to worry too much. And there's, you know, instrumentation key and everything else like that.
Now, all the stuff that you used to have to write on your own in the past.
Exactly, right? Now, you'll see here, for example, there's this PGL AI demo overview. If I double click on this, I didn't even have to go to the portal per se. I could actually just do this, and it actually brings me to the Azure portal and directly puts me in here. So let's see, and I'll put in my password again. And assuming I put it in properly, this should show up. And just wait for it to show up. Okay.
So in directly into the actual application.
Exactly, right? So it should show you some information and things like that. So for whatever reason, it's actually not showing stuff for, it's rather disappointing. But you can see here, you know, there's some custom event capabilities that you can take a look at. You can even take a look at, for example, the Metric Explorer. And I'll show you that in just a second here too. So you can basically select metrics that you want to actually follow and things. So if you take a look and click on the chart details, you can give an example. You want it to be an area chart, a line chart. You can basically give it a height. So the typical things from a visualization standpoint. But what you can also do is say, okay, well, I want to take a look at browser page load time. So I click on that, and that will actually be as part of browser page load time. And I can add another data point if I want to. And that would be, say, for example, I want to add, let's see here. Just say, for example, custom events per session, right? So this would be something here. And then as we get some more information and things like that, you might see some stuff. So I'm just going to refresh that, see if it actually brought some information back. And no, it's not. Seems not to do that. So what I can do here now is if I take a look at this. Now, I talked about the fact that within Visual Studio, when you hook up your Application Insights capabilities, it actually hooks in a whole bunch of things. So if I take a look at the MVC application that I have here, for example, and if I go to my views and I go to shared, so layout.cshtml is basically your main sort of area here where you basically, every single page sort of follows it. So if you're familiar with the concept of a master page, this is the next generation, if you will. It's been around for a little while now, but the idea is that your layout page is basically the master page that all your other sort of pages sort of follow. And what you'll see here is that automatically installed or automatically inserted is a script for allowing you to get application insights via JavaScript if you want to as well.
So you didn't have to write this code?
No, this was actually installed for me as part of that, you know, wizard process of creating Final New Project.
Including the instrumentation key that you have there?
Yes, it did that automatically. I didn't have to do anything like that.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool, right? So now every single page that I have within this MVC application can now make use of JavaScript, you know, calls to Application Insights to do whatever it is that I need to do, right?
So in other words, I'm assuming then, because of the way that it's built up here, all of these calls are asynchronous calls, right? Which means they're not going to interfere with the functioning of your applications. It's just going to, every time you emit one of these events, it's just going to push it over to the server, and that way you're not worried.
Yep.
Which is, of course, if you think about it, super important, especially when you're testing for performance and functionality. The last thing that you want is your instrumentation to be slowing everything down.
Well, exactly, right? So it's actually the performance overhead. I mean, if you add everything in and things like that, and you add super large number of calls to the Application Insights service, yeah, you might have a bit of performance degradation, but the team that actually built Application Insights did this with performance in mind, right? So to try to keep it as lightweight as possible using, you know, RESTful services, using JSON instead of XML, all that kind of stuff, to make it as quick and easy and non-intrusive as possible.
Right, and on the same topic, so just remember, even though as much of that is optimized, as much of it is what it is, it's still up to you as the developer to know what to send.
Yep.
Right? And why? Because obviously you can get as verbose as you want.
Exactly.
The service isn't going to stop you. The better question is, A, think about it from the data that you're actually collecting. Is it useful data? And number two, think about it from when you go in and at the back end and you have to analyze this data.
Yeah.
Right? You obviously don't want to be sifting through mountains and mountains of data. You want to actually go for the stuff that actually matters.
Exactly.
Right? So I think as much as this is easy to implement from a functional perspective, just understand, though, that you still should be thinking about what you're logging to make sure that, to your point earlier, the data that you're getting is actually useful to make the application useful, not logging and insights for the sake of insights.
Exactly, exactly. Now, if I actually take a look at this, for example, and I'm going to go and open up a new browser window, and if I go to, say, for example, pjlaidemo.azurewebsites.net, so this is actually on Azure.
So this is the live one?
This is a live one. So it's not the local host one where I'm doing the debugging. So I can click on these things and, you know, the typical things, go back home, click on contact, you know, go back to application name, go to register. You know, it's the same application as was there because I published it prior.
But clearly faster than what it was running on your computer.
Well, yeah, but then again, it didn't have to pre-compile on a local host because it already did that as well. So there's that. Now, hopefully what I can see here is if I take a look at this now, some of these things should have shown up. If I click on this, okay, for some reason it seems to not be showing up. So,
because the reality of it, this is real-time data.
It's supposed to be real-time data. So I'm not sure why this isn't showing up because frankly. Again, the demo gods, for whatever reason, you know, right before this this presentation, I had all sorts of data. I actually did a performance load test on it to make sure that there's some data. So let's actually do that. So I'm going to just minimize this, and I got this this load test here, for example. And if I click on this, we're going to actually do the load test. So we're going to do a new load test right here to generate some load on this specific application. So again, this is making use of Visual Studio and Azure at the same time to create a load test to run on the application. And it's going to basically do this load test, and it's basically doing the same things that I just showed you, for example, as far as like all the various different things that the clicks that I made and things like that. So we'll let that run because it's going to run for a little while. And hopefully over the next little while, as this thing sort of queues up and actually starts kicking off, we'll start seeing some data. So we'll just wait for this to show up a little bit. And in the meantime, let's show you some other things that are here. So if I go back here, and if I go to the actual website itself, so there's a whole bunch of things that are available here as well. So there's some monitoring data that should be showing up as well. So, and again, for some reason, I don't seem to be seeing too much information here for whatever reason. But you can see here, there's, you know, that you can get all the details around requests and errors and all those types of things. So this is also some sort of the monitoring capabilities that we have as well. So, Now, let's go back here. I'm going to see, maybe there's a problem with the service and need to restart it or something like that. Let's see here if we're going to get some data.
So if we were doing this on demand, right?
Yeah,
we could technically stop.
Yep.
And edit.
Exactly.
And do it.
So yeah, exactly. So what? Let me sort of explain what happens here, right? So the intent is that if you actually have your website and you've done your tests and things like that, every single page will have sort of hit counters and stuff like that. So everything from, you know, load time and all those types of things. So all sorts of telemetry would be available to you that would allow you to see some of that information. But beyond that, some of the other things that are available to you is you can actually take a look at, you know, the usability data, which is sort of what we talked about as well. And this would show up in the custom events. And unfortunately, I can't really show that to you because it's not sort of showing too much here. But you can see here that, you know, I have some events. I have some custom events that I've sort of defined here as well, which aren't showing up. But I can show you in the code basically what I'm doing. So if I actually go here and just show you the code. So I'll go back to my MVC application. So if I have my home controller, you'll see here that this home controller will basically determine, you know, all the various different sort of clicks and things like that that I have on my machine, or on my website, I should say. And what I've added is that I actually have these items right here. So telemetry.trackEvent and then indexEvent right here. And if you take a look here, I've got the application insights namespace sort of included within my application within my my header files here. So the interesting thing about this is that from a usability perspective, you can actually add into each of the methods that you're calling and things like that some data. In this case, I called it index event. Maybe I call it something else, like I can say foo, for example, and then it'll actually report and say, you know, this event was called and it basically has a value of foo. Or you can have dynamic sort of data associated with it too. So wherever you want to actually track usability or user interaction with your application, or how the application is sort of interacting with each other, that's where you would actually see some of this stuff as well. So it's very, very granular if you want. And basically, you can attach this to, say, for example, a button or to a drop list or whatever it is that you need. Or even if it's navigational structure and things like that, you can sort of set that up so that you have a better understanding of, A, you know, how many users are using different pages, for example, and assets within the page, as well as you can determine patterns on usability from across the entire application. Like if they're doing this, then they generally go here next, or they go there next, or whatever it is that they're trying.
So basically the user journey across your entire application.
You got it.
Right, and that's actually, I think that's the important part about all of this, and really where the differentiator between insights and monitoring comes in, right? Because you can monitor all of these things, but that exact example that you gave right now of being able to follow the user through any particular sequence of events is actually where the insights come from.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. So as you're planning out how you're going to instrument your applications, as you're planning out how you're going to use application insights, that's actually ultimately what you want to be thinking about is, what do I need to see, or mm-hmm. what journey do I need to see?
Exactly. So, I mean, the intent behind all of this is to provide you with the right amount of sort of telemetry that you can use to make decisions that will affect how, you know, you're going to create your next release and things like that.
Right. And right in this case is not an arbitrary right. There is no right or wrong way to do this. Right is basically what will ultimately determine what is useful.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Notice
how I used right in there?
I did. You're very clever. So anyways, unfortunately, because I can't sort of show you some of the telemetry because it seems to be down for this specific instance for some reason, that is basically what I planned to show you, was the fact that you have the ability to take a look at websites or any sort of application that you can sort of determine the health. And in fact, you can set up automated tests as part of this application insights as well. So the ability to create a ping test, say, hey, is it alive, and things like that. That would be an example of something that you can do.
The traditional monitoring.
Yeah, monitoring. And you know, you can set it up across different data centers too, which is kind of cool, right? So like, how alive is it from North America? How alive is it from Europe? How alive is it, you know, all those types of things.
Which goes back again to what we were saying before about that user journey, because especially for web apps mm-hmm. and mobile apps,
yep.
just because it works on the one side of the planet doesn't necessarily mean it works well or as performant as on the other.
Exactly. Like, what if you have a DNS issue at some point, right? So maybe it'll work on one part of the planet because that DNS issue isn't sort of affecting that application that you've right. actually built, or instead maybe in North America, everybody in North America can't hit your application because of that DNS right.
or
issue.
Or especially if you've built and architected your applications, let's say they are hosted in Azure and they are using various Azure data centers, mm-hmm. you need to test from a whole bunch of different areas of the world because especially if you're using, you know, like if you're routing traffic to different data centers based on where it's coming from, so on and so forth, those are all different scenarios that ultimately will affect what is perceived to your user as performance.
Exactly.
Or the experience. So that's actually one of the things that I really like about Application Insights is that because it's not dependent on where you, the tester, is,
mm-hmm. yep.
does its own thing, and you can set it up to do these geographic tests for the larger applications that you're building. That's really where the power of Application Insights comes in, because you can actually, if you expect an architecture application to be a global application, mm-hmm. technically your testing and your insights should actually be of the same scope.
Exactly, yeah.
So
yep.
It's one of those things that I think is sort of like a given with anything that you do from an Azure perspective, but it's, to me, it's always one of those things where you have to call out because you don't necessarily think about it.
Yep.
We think about it in terms of deployment, but we certainly don't necessarily think about it in terms of testing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And by testing in this case, to Paul's first point about, you know, that cycle, mm-hmm. testing doesn't stop in production, right?
Yep.
So you may call it monitoring, you may call it whatever. The point is, the application is still being tested at any given point in time.
Yep.
Right? So you want to make sure that just like your users might be global, you've architected it to be global, your monitoring, your insights, your whatever have to be in the same global scope.
Yep. Very good.
That was a good articulation, right?
Absolutely. You said it all.
Listen, at one point in time, I used to be the cloud guy.
Yeah, well, you still are.
Wow.
Really?
Clearly, because every time you somehow bring Azure into the conversation, every time we're on Breakpoint.
It's important.
Well, I mean,
the cloud in general. I mean, Azure obviously very important to us, but the cloud is the next big frontier in technology.
Yeah, and I just think at this point, you really can't disconnect the two.
No, no.
Or at least, more importantly, you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't, because, I mean, and it's not an all or nothing thing, right? And right. I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but, you know, the intent here is this, actually, Application Insights is a good example, right? So you may have an application that's fully on premises, but you make
use of... Dude, it's like you're in my head.
Well,
I literally was just thinking that.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, so Application Insights is a cloud service that you consume, to determine whether or not your application is performing or doing the right things for your users.
Yeah, and whether it's actually in the cloud or not. Right. So I was talking actually to a developer the other day where their application is completely an internal application.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, so wouldn't that be an issue if I'm using Application Insights outside of my environment?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, first of all, whether it's an issue or not is totally dependent on your organization.
Yes.
Right? Let's be honest. But one of the things to consider, too, remember, so this goes back to, I think, which episode was it that we were doing about cloud and privacy, and I'm pretty sure we got into this.
Yeah, it was like episode 3 or 4 or something like that.
Regardless, yeah. I'll have the link for you guys on, there's a really good MVA, Microsoft Virtual Academy course on confidence in the cloud.
Yeah.
And Pierre and John, who were the hosts of that MVA, were talking about all of these privacy laws and whatever. So I think it's important. Obviously, we're talking about it from a functionality perspective. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be done here.
Yep.
Do yourself a favor and do the research in terms of making sure that this actually will fit in your environment. Yes, the data is technically outside of your world. Are you storing anything uniquely identifiable to users? No.
As you saw, you know, like in
it's far all as, keys,
like,
right?
It's all keys, or for example, in this case, like the tracking the event. You can basically make this identifiable if you want to, or non-identifiable. It's up to you, right? So you can even make this just say, you know, home/index or something like that, whatever it is that you want. And then that custom event that you're tracking, this specific type of event, will show up as home/index. But if you wanted something dynamic, so, you know, include the date timestamp, for example, well, right. Yeah, go for it, you know?
Yeah, so I think, I guess what I'm ultimately getting at is, some might have an allergic reaction right up front because it's a cloud service. Mm-hmm. Right? Which, fine, yes, it admittedly is a cloud service. It runs in Azure. It is, because it's there, it has the same sort of security protocols and privacy protocols as your website or any other application.
Yep.
So I guess just do the research before letting anybody kind of cancel it out, be like, oh, we need everything on premise.
Yeah, exactly.
So just putting it out there, because I know, especially in the more enterprise discussions, mm-hmm. there is a little bit of hesitation to start using Application Insights.
Yeah.
But it's not, at least what I've seen, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen a specific friction point around Application Insights itself, but rather just conceptually the cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So do yourself a favor as a developer, just FYI, know that those are some of the conversations that you need to have. And as always, all the documentation is available on Azure.com. If you need any kind of privacy protocols or whatever, all of the services that we have in Azure apply from that. So I guess it's all there. And there is that MVA,
yes.
Confidence in the Cloud, which again, I'll have the link posted for you so that you can check that out just in case there is actually... Yep. Some hesitation about using the cloud.
Absolutely. Great. So.
That was it, right? Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. Hopefully my Application Insights instance will come back soon, and then I can take a look at it.
You know what? The truth is, though, is that, I mean, as we've said in previous episodes, and as we always say, the best way to see this stuff working is to actually do it.
Yeah. Right?
And especially because, again, a lot of it is in, well, I mean, it's still free.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So
it's in beta.
Yep. In beta. Public preview, I believe.
Whatever
is what
they
called.
Call it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's in private preview, which means you can go in and check it out. That's what I meant.
Yes.
Check it out. Play around with it. Demos are demos, so fine. But ultimately, the best demo is to actually take one of your applications, maybe fork it off into another branch, and play around with an actual application.
Yep.
Right, demos are good, but you won't know whether this stuff actually makes a difference and makes a useful impact in your environment unless you actually stick in one of your applications.
Exactly.
And as you saw from the code that Paul was showing, we're not talking about crazy sums of code here to implement this into applications.
Nope. And it works on works on, you know, mobile applications, but it also works on web applications, including .NET, standard HTML, using JavaScript, or even Java server pages, you know, you name it.
So the one thing that we didn't touch on, and I'm sure it's just as easy, we did a new application. You hit the little toggle button that says, what about an existing one?
So, for example, if I had an existing application, all I had to, would have to do is right-click on the project, and instead of seeing Open Application Insights here, it'll say Add Application Insights.
Well, then so, it doesn't
yeah,
get
I mean,
any
this
easier
is,
than
this
that.
Is, this is a .NET and the you know, for ASP.NET as well as Windows Store and Windows Phone. But if you don't have that, if you're using Java or an HTML site or something like that that is not using Visual Studio, we have step-by-step instructions as to, okay, well, you include this snippet of code within, you know, this part of your application, and then in order to access the telemetry capabilities, this is the type of code that you might want to do. So we give you step-by-step instructions as well as prescriptive guidance as to how to do that.
One more question for you.
Yes.
When we have, let's assume we have a composite app, right? So we have a front end.
Yes.
Built as a HTML5 website. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm going to use JavaScript.
Yep.
Okay. Then we have a back end.
Yes.
That is, let's say, a web API on Azure somewhere or other doing some other things. Mm-hmm. And I want to treat them as one application. Can I do that from an application insights perspective? Or is each one its own thing?
No, not necessarily. I believe if you use the same key for the application, it should show up under the same application.
Right. So, because you would think, right, as mm-hmm. If you have all of these different pieces, I guess what I'm trying to get at is a lot of times there's this concept that, well, you have to be all in the one platform.
Yeah.
I think in this particular case, application insights certainly does not limit you into...
Nope.
How you can even mix and match mm-hmm. different pieces for one application insight instance.
You got it.
Yeah. So something to keep in mind, especially when you're architecting. And then last point on architecture. Last point, I promise. Can you tell that this stuff is like super passion of mine? I don't know. It hurts me when you don't think about these ahead of time. That's actually one of the things that I wanted to say. For you software architects out there that are watching, or developers that do the software architecture. This is one of those things where, yes, it's easy to add in afterwards, but it's that much easier to add it in as you go.
Absolutely.
Right, and the bigger the application gets, the bigger the software that you're building gets, the more
important
complicated.
It is. And complicated, and also the more important that telemetry becomes too.
Right, so if you're not thinking about these things ahead of time, and then you have to go and backtrack and put them all in, not saying it's not doable, and certainly from a code perspective, it's not complicated, but are you gonna get as effective and impactful insights? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Difficult to say.
So just think about it ahead of time, but by no means, like if you have already existing stuff, draw that line in the sand and say, hey, you know what, from this point mm-hmm. forward, I'm going to add in application insights, and then all your new stuff can have it in there, and then eventually, as you iterate over and over and over again, producing new versions or updates or whatever, you can keep going back and adding that stuff in.
Absolutely.
So
that's it.
I'm done. I'm getting off. I'm going to drop the mic.
There you go.
Whatever it is that people say
yeah.
About it, it's just, it's one of those things that it's so easy to use and just
yeah.
not, which I think was the inspiration for the show, really.
Well, there you go.
Right?
Right.
So I guess if you're going to take away one thing from the show, go use it.
Yeah, try it out. You know, it's free to start and, you know, because it's in public beta or public preview. And and then see how it worked for your application. I think you'll be very pleasantly pleased. If you want to say
nice.
That, around how useful it can be.
Cool. So let's think about next episode.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
We're going to go back to DevOps.
As if we ever left it.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I think is actually kind of the point.
So it's interesting because what we're going to do is, you know, we're still working out schedules, but the intent is that we're going to have one of the IT pro evangelists from the team
nice.
Show up and sort of talk about that sort of handoff between development and IT.
Love it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about DevOps, you know, may not necessarily get really into tooling because it's more of a process
yep.
Type of situation, but we'll certainly talk about some of the implementations that we have around DevOps to help you. But yeah, hopefully it's going to be a great discussion. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
I love it. Because up until now, we've talked about DevOps. We've touched about the fact that it's a dual role function.
Mm-hmm.
But then naturally, because Paul and I are developers, we've always gone through the developer aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
That's really cool. So in that case, tune in and make sure you check it out. As always, since I always remind you at the end of the show, tune into CDN Devs on Twitter and either Paul or myself individually as well. Again, Jay Rosenblatt, P. LaBerge, hashtag BreakpointCA. You can also get all this stuff straight on Facebook, which
yep.
is facebook.com/MicrosoftDeveloper.Canada. Just make sure. Come on. We are Canadians, even though
yes.
All of you guys worldwide, hi, lovely to have you, but we are proud Canadians.
Absolutely.
So we'll have that there. And as soon as we have everything ready for the next show, we'll let you know. And certainly when this episode becomes available, then that will be on there as well.
All right.
All right. So until then.
See you later.
See ya.
Have a good day.
And weekend. I love the fact that we do these on Fridays.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Okay, I'm not going to get into that. Have a good one. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.